days. Is that right, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Show your Reagan's face. All
right, now. Mama don't like no Reagan and Spivin in here. Mama don't like no Rick and Spivin in here. Hey, he don't care, but mama don't like no Rick and Spivin anyhow. Mama don't like no Rick and Spivin in here. Now mama don't know that we are up. I ain't talking about the way she took Rick and scrape that's pumping to our own veins. We can wait that she go up. We gonna Rick and Spivin beside the stuff.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday and it's actually Halloween. It's actually Halloween, and when it becomes Halloween, I tend to get excited because I love candy. Erin loves candy. Erin is dressed up in her Halloween outfit. She's a superhero. She dressed up in all green in this leotard type thing.
It's a superhero uniform.
Wouldn't it be a superheroine?
No, I don't know about that. It's a superhero. We can't afford all them other letters behind our name.
Heroine?
No.
No?
I mean, they told me I can't get a belt. I have to wear a sash with my uniform. I'm okay with that. I have superhero powers.
And
I mean, it's supposed to be a cape, but I'm still making a payment plan. I'm only a captain. Captain might as well.
But you might as well. Captain might as well.
Yeah, because, see, eventually you will say, we might as well deal with this ourselves, you know, before that crazy woman come around here talking about she's a superhero.
I understand. I just want to recognize the late Edmund Ramming, one of the musicians in... Literally, he was the lead singer in Lacido Boys. That's one of my favorite songs that we were listening to earlier. Mama don't like no raking and scraping in here. I remember Erin and I did a thesis, an analysis on the song. What does raking and scraping mean? What you mean that by mama don't want no raking and scraping in here? That song can be interpreted in so many different ways. And perhaps as a tribute to Edmund Ramming, we may have to do that show again and cover that. What does raking and scraping mean to Bohemian? When I say I don't want no raking and scraping in my house.
Mm-hmm.
In my house of assembly, in my country, in my environment, I don't want no raking and scraping. When I say right now, what does that mean to Bohemians? How do we interpret it?
Stop all this raking in and scraping in.
Yeah.
I think it mean gallivanting.
Gallivanting?
Yeah.
That's what today's theme is going to be about, raking and scraping. If I demand that I don't want no raking and scraping in my house, should I be judged, even though it's my house? Or should I go along to get along? And that's what I want to speak about today, right? Actually, I wanted to speak about Halloween. I might continue speaking about Halloween because I love scary stories. I love paying tribute to whatever holiday is being fested at a particular time. So I still have one poem I want to play too.
Right, I'm saying you...
Yeah.
You publish?
I've not necessarily write ghost stories. I write stories.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one or two.
But you publish a small book of ghost stories, right?
Yeah. Some time ago when I used to write.
I found on the Guardian website, right, a video.
Go ahead.
Called Three Bohemian Ghost Stories.
Really?
And they narrate in the video. And I gave it to producer for yesterday. Because I did forget. The Kermit have it, though.
Yeah, but you still have my number.
I did forget. I was busy in training.
Your phone broke?
You might as well just let Kermit play it.
We'll see. But
let me.
How long is this ghost story thing?
I don't know. The whole video is about 3 minutes. It's like a small opening, and then they tell the stories, and then I think a small closing.
That might be too long for radio, though.
I know. It may be. Yeah. In the break, I can go talk to the producer about it.
And on my social media page, I posted that all... Okay, go on blank. Go back to it. No. Phone just blank out. Give me a couple seconds, Erin. There it is. All of the MPs need to use their constituency monies to pay their delinquent constituents' light bill. I'm going to repeat that. All of the MPs, members of parliament... need to use their constituency allowance to help pay their delinquent constituents' light bill. And remember I said the theme today is, I don't want no raking and scraping in here. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, if I make that pronouncement, is that reckoning? Recently, I want to commend the Honorable Minister, the Honorable Pia T. Glover, who is one of the Glover Rowell. Let me respect her husband. Pia T. Glover Rowell, who is one of the premier ministers that we have right now in the Commonwealth of Bahamas. She is a star. She's a star, and she's heralded by, if not the majority of Bahamians, a large portion of Bahamians think that she is the top minister over all of the senior ministers, all over all of the prime minister, the deputy prime minister, the minister of national security, minister of foreign affairs. She is just doing a phenomenal job, especially being a neophyte, first time inside the House of Assembly. She is making waves. They even have her right now ahead of Glenys Hannah-Martin, which she, and we all know Glenys Hannah-Martin is a star by itself, a powerhouse, but they have Pia Glover ahead of her. I say that because I'm going to do a critique now. So I want people to say, man, you just being negative. I'm saying that I like her. I'm saying that she's doing a good job, a yeoman job. She's ahead of the pack. However, I am uneasy because of what she did, because it seems like it's raking and scraping. And I said, mama, don't want no raking and scraping here. This is all reading from Pia Glover's. I keep on calling Pia Glover, she's Rowell. Pia Rowell's page, MP for Golden Gates. She said, attention all Golden Gates constituents. Let me help you get back on track. See, it's an announcement. Let me help you get back on track. If your electricity is disconnected, send me your BPL bill for your home in Golden Gates, and I will take care of your 10% reconnection fee. I'm not sure if you know, Aaron, that the Minister Joe Beth Colby Davis? Last name is
Davis. Colby Davis.
Colby Davis. Yeah, trying to make sure they call their last names, their married names. She made an announcement that they're trying to reconnect. Have a merry and bright Christmas. You can turn back on your lights. That's what the headline is, right? So for this month, next month, going towards Christmas, you can reconnect your electricity if you have it off. And they have the theme of the Christmas lights, merry and bright. Play it on that word, right? Pia Rowell. He says, you will require to enroll in and pay your agreed payment plan with BPL. Send to Gigi, what's Golden Gates, I guess, WhatsApp line, and 242, and they give the numbers, right? So, and long and short, once you sign up to pay your light bill on this program, this plan, this merry and bright plan, where you pay 10, and then you sign up to pay this normal fee for the rest of the month to turn on. Miss Pia Glover Rowell has pledged that she plans to pay the 10%. She plans to pay the 10% reconnection fee, and then you can continue to pay after that. Mm. So this is where my concern is. Constituency money for. And that's why I want to call us to call him. Because I had to go on and get the act. And I say, Aaron, I'm going to send you the act. I want you to read it online, on air.
You run far?
Yeah.
Wouldn't this suggest to you that she's using the constituents?
Give me from. So it has to be the constituency funding.
I mean, there's an expectation that declarations are supposed to be made, and that expectation is rooted in constitutional provisions, right, and other provisions like the Public Disclosure Act. But
okay, let me have this in phases then. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's not the constituency fund. Let's say it's from an anonymous donor.
Yeah.
Right? Should the minister make that known, that anonymous donor gave me a couple $1,000 I plan to donated to my constituents to pay their light bill? Is that something mandated? Or should be mandated? Let me say it.
I think it's something that should be mandated, and I think that it's an inherent part of constitutional provision, right, of the Constitution, that it doesn't have to be explicitly stated. Like, you should understand, it's implied that if you get donations, you should tell people where the donations come from.
And especially when the chairman of the party, Progressive Party, said that this financial campaign reform thing, it's not coming. It's not, it's on the back burner. It's not, it's not on the agenda when the prime minister is not.
So
let me dismiss the idea that it came from an anonymous donor.
Right. So we're going to say you think it's the constituency fund that she would be accessing to operate this scheme. Yeah.
Yes. And I want to have a discussion on it, right? When I saw it, I heralded it. I mean, I still herald it. I said, at least we're using the constituency money for something tangible. I could say I benefited from it. No, I can't say yet, Aaron. I can let you analyze it. Your job is to analyze it. But as a constituent, let's say I live in Golden Gates, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say, boy, finally, I get to touch my constituency money. The monies that the MPs, a member of parliament, receive is for helping people in the community. That's on the surface. And then I start analyzing and say, wait, is that what the money for? Is it the money for paying people funeral bill, paying people insurance, buying, paying people utilities in general? Is that what the constituency money for? And if I, as a behemoth who pay taxes, if I get vexed and say, when I find out that it's not for that, am I just a no person who's just down, chronic complainer when someone is trying to do good and they say, man, you was a naysayer? Or am I asking for better governance? And that's what the conversation is this raking and scraping happening inside my house? Because now I want you to read, what does the law say? What does the law say about the constituency money? And does this payment of the 10%, which is a nominal fee, it's not much, you know. I don't know how much people have their light off and Golden Gates. I don't think it's plenty. So I think it's just going to be a couple $1,000 she spent, right? Or a couple $100 she spent, right? But I talk about principle.
Define couple.
I don't know. It could be hundreds in Golden Gates with no light. And yeah. But I ain't get there yet. I just want you to read the law. And I want the listening audience to hear it.
Okay,
right?
So
we talk about principle here and good governance here. Not necessarily I trying to take care of my people.
All right, so the document we're looking at is titled Second Schedule, Section 2. Tell me what the name of the law is you pulled this from.
Okay, hold on. It's a the constituency payment outline.
Provisions,
yeah.
Okay, so Second Schedule, Section 2, Part 1, New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Bimini. Rent, so A, rent, upkeep, and maintenance.
So the money is to pay for rent and upkeep and maintenance office.
I presume.
Okay.
I wish you'd let me see the captions for the law. But that's okay. We can keep reading. B, salaries, bank charges, national insurance. So that's of the employees in the office,
in
right?
In the office, yeah.
Utilities.
Utilities.
Water, electricity, communications.
Mm-hmm. The general upkeep of the office.
Yeah. D, equipment and supplies.
Whatever you got to buy to run the office.
Right. Part 2... Family islands other than Grand Bahama and Bimini.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why is Bimini there with Grand Bahama, and like not Andrew, right? Like not the Barry. I don't know.
Isn't West End in Bimini?
You're saying Grand Bahama, that constituency.
Yeah.
So is this an amendment? Is this a recently amended provision?
I don't know.
Okay. Part 2: Family islands other than Grand Bahama and Bimini. A, rent, upkeep, and maintenance.
Okay.
B, salaries, bank charges, national insurance.
Mm-hmm.
C, utilities. D, equipment and supplies. E, this is additional, separate from part 1, transportation in a constituency.
So if you have to move up and down, paying gas and whatever it is, or maybe renting a bus to facilitate whatever activities, I guess that's...
Because if you... running a program from your constituency office, that the program budget would cover the transportation needs for the program, right? I'm wondering if this is talking about while you're doing your work throughout the constituency, if you are on a family island other than Grand Bahama and Bimini, the constituency office will be responsible for those costs.
Okay.
But that means then that if you are working in New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Bimini, that you would cover the costs of transportation related to your work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, continue.
We go to the second document. Section 4, titled Purpose of Grant.
Okay.
Subsection 1. A grant allocated under Section 3 shall be used for any authorized capital development project authorized by the minister under Section 6. So I presume the minister would be the Minister of Works if it's a capital development project.
But you know that the constituency allowance can do grant for maintenance of the community.
Right, but in this instance, here's what I mean. The MP has a constituency office, mm-hmm. not a minister.
Not a minister. I know
so this is not referring to the MP, of the agency or the ministry referenced in or under Section 6.
Yes.
Subsection 2. For the purposes of this section, a capital development project includes any works carried out for A, the overall or partial development of a constituency, B, the maintenance of any roads, parks, or other public facility within a constituency, C, the beautification of the environment within a constituency, or D, any other work as the member of parliament considers appropriate for the development, educational, or cultural endeavors of the constituency.
Just read that again, because I think that is the leeway that members of parliament have. Like, so read that again and let's interpret that.
Okay, give me a second.
And my intent is not to be mean, you know. My intent is to ensure good governance, right? To put people's feet to the fire, to let behemoths who say, man, that's a good gesture, say, no, it's, despite it being a good gesture, is it good governance? And are we in pursuit of good governance?
And the number of questions, right? Is it within the scope of, policy, right? Or regulations? And then even if it is within the scope of the law, right? Even if it is within the minister's or the MP's discretion, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Is it good governance?
Is it good governance?
Okay, so we go back to Article 4, Purpose of Grant. Section 2, and we go to subsection A, B, C, and we were on D. Any other work as the member of parliament considers appropriate for the development, educational, or cultural endeavors of his constituency.
And that gives a loophole, even though I would not suggest that paying someone's light bill is development, but it could be interpreted. Are you trying to make sure the community welfare is
really sell it? The children need to be able to do their homework.
Yeah.
It's a matter of national security.
Yeah, you have to tweak it.
Don't forget that 7%.
Yeah, you have to tweak it.
I did anything I could do to get the grades up in my community, and if that means ensuring that the children have light to do their homework, we could do it.
Yes. The other day on, so did we finish reading that?
No, there are more sections. No,
let's finish reading that.
Okay. And so the Section 2 continues. This section, a capital development project, includes any works carried out for A, B, C, D, as approved by the minister. Mm-hmm. 3. No member of parliament shall utilize any portion or part thereof of a grant for A, any political meeting or forum, or B, any fundraising activity for any political party, C, the payment, maintenance, upkeep, salaries, and other expenses in respect of the constituency office. No member of parliament shall award a contract for a four. No member of parliament shall award a contract for a capital development project to a member of his family or to any business or company for which the beneficial owners of that company are family members of the member of parliament. I tell you a quick story. I ever tell you about how I almost get run out of QC one evening?
And
Loretta Butler Turner won the seat, Montague, St. Anne's. Or mm-hmm. I can't remember, it wasn't Freetown though, but it was St. Anne's something, right? And she just won, she'd say, hey cousin, come to the the first constituency meeting, you know? And I went to the meeting. It was a QC. It was in the primary school, like the little primary school auditorium. And the pamphlets was like FNM constituency meeting. And so I was like, hold on. You know, I waited till the meeting, like towards the end when they have a question and answer. I didn't just jump up at the beginning of the meeting. I was like, but I thought we were at a St. Anne's constituency meeting, Montague constituency meeting, not an FNM constituency. If people, my dear cousin had to save me.
Yeah.
She had to tell the people, be easy, she right.
They would have cut you behind inside.
There was a good try. I mean, you know, there's going to make sport like there's a good try. But I was chunky, but I was fast. But yeah, that's section three right there. No member of parliament shall utilize any portion or part thereof of a grant for A, any political meeting or forum. Even though it was a constituency meeting, it becomes a political meeting as soon as you replace the constituency name with the party name. As soon as you put the party colors on the office, it becomes a political space, and it should be neutral.
And we see a number of MPs, members of parliament, are guilty of this still. They still have FNM and PLP political meetings instead of constituency meetings.
Now, I'll say the constituency I live in, which people regard as a FNM stronghold, I think that generally the residents are, they're either sufficiently pleased or relatively disengaged that to see the FNM colors, right? And I think the MP is doing a good job. I mean, you don't have as much money as Brent did. So you can't have the same expectation, right?
He didn't have the $100,000?
I mean, you think Brent only had $100,000?
You think he spent his own money?
You know what? I forget to ask him if he would take me trick-or-treating.
There you go.
And he live in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Two of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we finished reading our land?
Yes, we have come to the end of
purpose
of grant.
I want to know if the bill, this law, the statute, allows a member of parliament to pay a utility bill. Like, is there any loophole?
Okay.
Any indication that it's possible?
So when I see this section 2D that says what the MP considers appropriate for the development, educational or cultural endeavors, right, of his constituency. The way that I would do it is, you would have to create a program, because you have to remove, you have to ensure that you are not going to be accused of cherry picking, picking your favorites, picking people who are party supporters. It needs to be run, like it needs to create a mechanism, a scheme where we, I try to have a constituency meeting and let the constituents vote on it, right? Like, hey, this is the idea. We want to create a program where if you are in arrears on your light bill, right? Here's the first thing you have to do is you have to go and sign up for the BPL payment plan, right? When you sign up for the plan, you indicate that you are in this constituency. And we're going to have a draw, a random draw. So you already go to BPL and you got the plan worked out. And then you come to us, you put your name in the box. And somebody not a part of the constituency will pull the names out of the box, and is a limited, the first 100 names to get pulled out of the box, they get to participate in the program. But it has to be random.
But this isn't it. We're paying for all. They're paying for all, the 10%. And that, let's move from to the word 10%.
What do you mean all?
I just read the memo. The memo say if you live here and you need, if you lay it off, I'll pay 10%.
I mean, yeah.
It's all. Anyone who have their laid off, who live in the constituency. And I said, it isn't that many people who have their laid off. So
okay, hold on. So let me read that again. I'm pulling it up. If your electricity is disconnected.
Yeah, off.
Right, so it has to have been turned off.
Yeah. So that ain't many. So it says it's going to be in the hundreds.
So it's not just that you're in arrears.
No, it has to be off.
Not just you owing.
It has to be off. Right? So you're indigent. So this is my concern.
Okay, so see, there's the next thing. There's too many uncertainties, right? It's because here's my thing. You offer the scheme. You say you're giving it to everybody. Now, when BPL say they shutting off lights, they shut off everybody light. But what if all of a sudden they don't shut off all the lights? You know, like somebody just decide they ain't waking today.
Yeah.
And so I should have been able to access this program, but for some miracle, somebody didn't shut off my light.
This is my next concern.
Yeah.
This is my next concern, right? 10% is as much. So again, I appreciate the gesture of the minister, of the member of parliament. 10% is a small nominal payment, right? If you get shut off for, how do you think you get shut off for $200 now? If 10% would be $20. See, that's small money. But my point is, if you can't afford to pay $20 to get on the scheme, having the MP paid for you, that means something wrong. This ain't helping.
Which is, I think, the fundamental issue with schemes like this. And I'm not using scheme in the sort of loaded negative sense, right? It's just what it is in the technical sense, is that we continue to pour efforts that actually require structural reform.
Yes.
You want to get the glory of providing charity when your job is actually to provide structural reform. Mm-hmm. And so I cannot celebrate this as anything of value, because not only does it obfuscate what your actual obligation is, it also obfuscates the culture and the thinking of people. It perpetuates a culture of patronage. And again, it doesn't give people the actual tools or the skills building opportunities to do better.
I hear that, but I'm trying to find out or picture in my mind how much would it be inconvenience for a constituent would be unable to pay. I'm saying $20, $30, $40, $50, all that's 10% of numbers, right? A small amount of money.
Okay, but think about it like this. Yeah, $20, $50 is a small amount of money.
And if I can't afford to pay that, Aaron, I shouldn't be turning on my light.
No, stop. Right there. I don't like where you've reduced this
My point is I can turn off again.
Light is an essential.
No, I understand that. You give light for free. But my point is, if I have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And if I can't afford
the
10%, how can I afford to pay the rest off by myself?
Yeah,
because I can't afford the $20. Buying $20.
Because charity is not the solution for this problem. It's the solution for this problem. And it is obvious. That's it. It's obvious. Mm. But one of the new aspects of our political culture is the glamorization of governance. Mm. Right? It has to look glamorous. Charity is glamorous. Yeah. We take beautiful pictures and wear beautiful dresses and beautiful smiles. And all of that is true, you know.
Mm.
But it's ineffective.
Mm.
It does not work. It does not cause people to be able to manage their bills. It does not cause them to seek out educational opportunities. And in fact, why don't you take that money and figure out how to organize Saturday schools and evening Zoom classes for people on these basic things about small budgeting. In fact, take the money and go buy all the students one of those budgeting wallets.
Mm-hmm.
The young black lady, she designed, and she gets paid weekly, but her bills are monthly. So she has to break down her weekly paycheck to ensure that at the end of the month, everything is, she has the right amounts for the rent, the gas, the heating, right? And so the wallet has a section, rent, week one, week two, week three, week four. So you remember, right? And it through organizing their small money, because a part of this is people making weekly money and have to pay monthly bills.
Yes.
And they don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Spend the money teaching them.
So clearly the money would be better served spent another way.
Yeah.
The member of parliament, the minister, meant well.
Yeah, right? Without a doubt.
But this doesn't solve nor help anybody. Because I'm still trying to figure out what dollar value one's light bill had to be in to be turned off, that the 10% was unaffordable, unreachable, unattainable.
Right.
That I needed help from my member of parliament. Say, but member of parliament, I can't find $50 to start the program.
Is it that
then I need assistance to pay. She had to pay the whole thing.
And let's also acknowledge that many ministers, particularly those we call neophytes who are new to the House of Parliament and new to the cabinet, they are also trapped, stuck, overwhelmed by this culture of glamour governance, right? And so Mrs. Pia Glover role may have already penciled down. She may have already, all of the ideas we're talking about, she may already have them written down, but she could not figure out how to achieve them in the way that we think is good governance with the existing governance models and structures.
On social media, there is this gentleman who had a loved one died. He had a loved one died, and he was on social media ranting and raving that his member of parliament only gave him $1,200. $1,200 toward the funeral to pay for whatever to bury, inter his loved one. Right? And he's vexed, saying all that money my MP gets for the constituency office. And he only, I say, I campaigned. And he only gave me $1,200. $1,200 cannot bury my loved one, was what he said. And I'm picturing that. They said, my constituency money ain't for burying people. Right? It's for developing my community. Right? I understand you need charity, and I understand why the member of parliament gave you the money. But you can't be ungrateful for the money he gave.
If my MP came to me and said, now look here, constituents.
I see a call. We're coming to you right now. Hold on.
It comes to constituents. We have a member of the constituency. The breadwinner in the family died last night. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to get a backlog of pay, right? We know that he was in a thing. His rent is in arrears. The people them don't care. The boy died last night. They're getting ready to kick these people out of the house. I would like to use an emergency just to pay this rent off so they don't have to get out the house. They could deal with the death. Mm-hmm. And we can make up a partial payment plan so they could pay us back piece. Because that's an emergency. You know what I'm saying? That you didn't know. You could come to me with that.
Should I be grateful that the member of parliament using my constituency money to help me? Like, boy, look how nice he is. He kind, eh?
Even though
it's my money?
Right, but not just that. We cannot perpetuate this culture of patronage by saying, oh, I'm so thankful that you're using my money to help me in this charitable way when you should have been using the money for structural reform that would help more than just me.
Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. How you doing?
Good morning, Mr. Nui.
Morning, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Nui, I respect you for this, you know. That's what I was trying to show Howard the other day, right? But, you know, as a 60-year-old human, right, and socially diverse, right, I have an overview, a panoramic view of the political dynamics, the tactics that they use within the inner city. I have a real panoramic view. You see what I'm saying? Now, what C.A. Nui is suggesting to me is I don't have a problem. You listening good, Mr. Nui?
I listen.
I don't have a problem. I agree with you wholeheartedly, but me personally don't have a problem if the person is old and incapacitated or is being abandoned. You understand what I'm saying, Ms. Green? For different reasons, but for you to try to coerce the politician to do this and that for you, that's too far into the socialism depth. And so what happened now is you create a dependency. And I love Aaron for saying the glamour of the glamour of charity. So it's also a psyops operation, Aaron, when you take a photograph with a smile. The operation to show people that you really care. But what happens is now, something that you guys said, which one of you, I don't know, but this was very integral, right? That it's a curry favor thing. Now, I don't want no curry and I don't want no favor. But what I'm saying is, I agree with Mr. Nui, but I look at the community as a collective. So I have the same concept, Mr. Nui. You see what I'm saying? And it hurts me. So what hurts me too is the lady who was on the other, with you, Aaron, they were talking about properties they cleared down. So the urban renewal, they cleared down some property in close proximity. And what happened is, they still, they neglect it, and now we have an entity next to that. Now, my brother, mind you, the people who property is our cousins, but they destroyed, everybody knows we moved the home. But then what happens now is you have some entity, an entity, because they have influence with lawyers and all these different people in their group, they trying to quiet this piece of land. So you trying to tell me now, according to the police, you trying to tell me now they trying to come in together to take poor people land. I know all the family owners just said it's sisters and brothers, and they probably haven't come to the conclusion to sell it. But we can't have no type of implementation of any type of legislation to come in the inner city and take poor property from poor people. They're already trying to do it through the generation of property. But keep this up, Mr. Nui, because this is what some of the politicians do. They have their people who they do things for, and they talk about A. What A? You know, politicians is getting away A where?
Absolutely. So,
some of them, just like the white man would make a statement on Aaron's show, would be glad he's in slavery. Aaron, he should come over here and make a speech. So, everything cool, man. Yeah.
Listen, when my cousin bring them, we can just crack plenty joke on them or something. But what could the constituency funds be used for? Organizing legal sessions, free legal sessions, so people who have land and are concerned because they're not clear on the status of the land, if their bills owe in, if real prop, if inland revenue come in to talk about real property tax, you could be using that money to facilitate access to legal services for people to ensure that they have access to the land that they own, they think they own, they're in the process of purchasing. That would be a great initiative throughout constituencies. Mm. And along with that, you talk to people about your responsibilities as a renter, your responsibilities as a landlord, your responsibilities as a property owner, when you have to come cut the trees, even if there are no structures on the trees, how much money is BPL spending to trim trees that property owners should be trimming, et cetera, et cetera. All of these things, the funding could be used for the cultural and educational development and endeavors within the constituency.
Thank you very much, Aaron. I just wanted to hash that out. We're going to take a quick commercial break here. Someone text regarding what you said, great show as usual. We don't have campaign reform. You think we'll have structural reform? So they definitely poking at you.
If y'all keep taking these pretty pictures with pretty politicians over perfect policy and perfect performance, then yeah, I agree with you. We ain't gonna never get no structural reform. I agree.
This next text says, if she didn't tell you by constituency, how many residents had their electricity disconnected? How much was outstanding? The other needs? And if there were any more pressing needs? It's just a bunch of raking and scraping. And mama don't want no raking and scraping in here. Right? Anyway, we're going to take this quick commercial break. When I come back, we'll talk about Halloween celebration.
Yeah, you can tell me where all the trick-or-treating happening?
Actually, I see a lot of people purchasing costumes, so I think tonight's going to be...
I think they have an adult parties. They don't give out candies there. They just give out rum, and I can't drink rum.
Yes.
Run on duty anyway.
Yes, and I have one poem I need to read, too. I want to see if anyone is familiar with this particular one. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge, so we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
This November, the Nassau Guardian is celebrating 180 years. And we want to thank you, our loyal readers, for helping to make this one of the oldest newspapers in the region. We want you to be a part of our Vision Challenge giveaway promotion beginning October 28th through November 22nd. All you need to do is find the hidden Nassau Guardian 180 Years logo printed every day in the Nassau Guardian newspaper, and you could win prize money. Just purchase your daily Nassau Guardian newspaper every day beginning Monday, October 28th. Find the 180th Nassau Guardian logo, cut out the page, mark the spot, write your name and phone number on that clip entries at our offices on Carter Street in Oaksfield. And every Friday, November 1st, November 8th, November 15th, and November 22nd, one drawing will take place. It's that simple.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361. Did you know the city of Nassau started with Christchurch Cathedral? The Christchurch Cathedral Street Festival is happening on George Street this Saturday, November 2nd. It's a day packed with fun for the whole family, celebrating the birth of the city of Nassau.
From delicious local food vendors to the vibrant songs of Junk Canoe Parade, plus live performances by the Defense Force Band, the Police Pop Band, we've got something for everyone. Bring the kids to the Kitty Corner. Explore Nassau's rich history with walking tours.
And don't miss your chance to win big in our exciting raffle.
Mark your calendar. It all happens Saturday, November the 2nd to 8 p.m.
at the Christchurch Cathedral Street Festival. Nassau starts here. So see you there.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Acklins, August 1971. Boys shall be boys, many say, wrestling, pushing as they play. Four young pups from Delectable Bay went missing, taken by water fae, playing sailor men on a shipwrecked boat, an onshore dinghy that no longer float. A worn old craft, sun cracked dry, mysteriously set sail with the water tide. Beguiled youth by the songs of mortar, kidnapped by mammy water. Ocean that claiming the souls of men, bohemian children vanished again. Roll and Hannafolt bawled and wept. Whispers of a possible fatality seeped. Air, sea search prematurely abandoned. No possible leads, no bodies found it. Columbus capers again resurface. New world monsters culling the surface. Forgotten story purposely hidden. Island lore narrative forbidden. On Acklins Island, August 1971, the innocent vanished. All bohemian sons taken by the Atlantic Ocean, taken where? Still, no notion.
And that poem was Acklins, 1970. I don't remember no more. 1971. It's about three boys went missing in Acklins, vanished. No one knows where they gone to. They're still missing over 40 odd years now. There are a number of strange things happening inside the Bahamas, this Bermuda Triangle place that we live in. Mm-hmm. People go walking inside the pine forest, vanished. People say they're taken by the Chickchani, disappear. Mm-hmm. We have stories of that the Chickchani kidnapped or used to kidnap black children, mm-hmm. and disappear, and say that the Chickchani was actually Boleg, Chief Boleg, who changed. He was a Therapthorp. Hopefully I pronounced that properly. Therapthorp, which is a changeling, mm-hmm. that he changed into a bird owl and that he sacrificed children. And that was a law in Andrus.
I mean, same time, ago. He could have been rescuing babies born into enslavement.
That's true.
And taking them to somewhere free. I'm just saying,
yeah.
You know, at the same time in Long Island, they had the jack-o'-lantern. The jack-o'-lantern used to take you, if you were not where you were supposed to be and the jack-o'-lantern found you, he'd take you to Haiti.
Yes, and of course, and this is why they have issues with Haitian people anyway, but that goes to something different. And then there's Lasca, mm-hmm. and scary stories of Lasca.
Half octopus, half shark. That I suspect greatly that Disney came and made the movie Luska,
yeah.
about the little boy. It's half boy and half mm-hmm. animal, sea animal.
And some years ago, they believed that whatever tsunami came in the Bahamas, it would have been Luska who who would, or Luska, who would have come and pull people out to sea, right? And of course, the stories about mermaids. And I wanted to have a show about scary things happening inside the Bahamas. I know a number of Bahamians, even though it was before my time, spoke about that incident through Centerville, where he came alive and danced. And it's still part of Bahamian folklore where people swear that the coconut trees came alive, the house was haunted, they had to call a Haitian voodoo man to come and expel whatever spirit that was in the house, right? And the Bahamians tend to have a number of scary tales, unexplained deaths, unexplained phenomena, witches. Apparently, we have a number of witches now into the Bahamas. The church keep on talking about it, especially this New Age church.
Do the witches talk about it?
They tend to be quiet.
But maybe they don't.
But they advertising now. The witches are boldly advertising on social media. Say, come and get your palms read. Come and get
the
spirit.
Is that a witch or is that a palm reader?
Yeah, we call all that witches.
Oh, it's a general...
Yeah, it's a general...
Okay, can I tell you a story?
About you being a palm reader?
As you accuse me of being a witch?
I'm watching you.
I know. Yeah. Have you ever heard the Chicchani origin story?
You told it once on thing, but go ahead.
I can tell you again?
Go ahead, man.
So this is the origin of the Chicchani as told to me. It's called the coloring, the origin story, the coloring. So way back in the day before you and I were born, the before the Christian church took over, so it was a time of renewal. That time of the year was a time of renewal. It was the beginning of the year. And so as the beginning of the year, the Mer King and the Mer Queen would fulfill their role as leaders in the coloring ceremony. And that's where all of the fish of the sea, all of the animals of the sea, mammals and fish alike, would come up into the biggest blue hole on the island of Andrus, waiting to be recolored, renewed, refreshed by the Mer King and the Mer Queen. And it was a very important part of the year. It was a very important part of the ecological system. And one year, at the start of the ceremony, there was a ruckus in the bush, and a small ground animal and a bird were fighting. In fact, the bird was chasing the ground animal, and that animal was running for its life, and it ran, and the bird chased it, and it ran, and the bird chased it, until they both tumbled into the blue hole, the middle of the coloring ceremony. Now, this is such a revered part time of the year and process that the Mer King and the Mer Queen, in their rage and upsetness, that the upset that the ceremony had been disturbed, decided that if the bird and the ground animal were so intent on being with one another, that they would make it one animal, and thus the Chicchani was born.
Well, it's different from that Seminole Indian story. Because you know, Chicchani is only found in Andrus, and northern part of Andrus near Red Bay.
Chicchani migrate all over the... I see Chicchani in the bush in Mangrove Key in 1992. Summer I was there teaching Anglican Vacation Bible School.
Yeah?
Yes. Oh, good. Big red eyes in the bush looked out at me.
Yeah. It sounded like a rolling calf.
I don't know what it sounded like, because bush crack and I was gone.
You could fly.
I did that night.
Do Bahamians celebrate Halloween?
Yeah.
More.
I mean, when you say, do we celebrate Halloween, right? I think we have lost, many of us have lost the religious connotation. So this is All Hallows Eve. This is the day before All Hallows Day. I don't know if we celebrate that. But Halloween has become a cultural celebration, and in particular for children. It's about an opportunity for children. It's also become a capitalist thing, right? But we celebrate Halloween still, and it's celebrated to, like, create community.
Do kids still light firecrackers? I know when I was younger, you hear pop all the...
We don't have as much of that. Like, in my neighborhood, that used to be Firecracker Central, and it used to be eggs.
Do they still pull the cars with eggs?
I think eggs are too expensive.
Yeah, you can't be spending. Yeah,
I think I think young children know.
Yeah,
eggs too expensive.
Yeah, that's breakfast. You can't be throwing away breakfast.
Yeah, or lunch or dinner.
Yeah, yeah, that can't work.
Yeah,
you know. And when you were younger, what did you do for Halloween? I know our school had a parade. Where you go around.
Yeah.
Did they still do that?
I'm not sure if they still do that in school. My parents used to buy us the you know, an inexpensive costume with the plastic mask and then the plastic suit that you would sweat to death in, and mm-hmm. then you rip in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to get those. But I didn't go trick-or-treating. We would be home for trick-or-treaters. And then I used to have to look at the faces of my neighbors as my mother gave them raisins and candy corn and kisses, chocolate kisses mm-hmm. and peanuts and popcorn and candied apples and stuff.
What's your favorite Halloween candy?
Free.
Any kind of free candy?
With chocolate.
With chocolate on it.
Yeah, free. Okay.
That's like Easter eggs, no? No?
Free.
Fred wants it free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which communities still do trick-or-treating?
Now, that I'm not too sure of. I imagine that the gated communities do trick-or-treating, but now you find like organizations do it. I think like churches may actually do it as a kids' activity on the weekend or maybe on that evening.
My Baptist church, where I attended years ago, had a Halloween party, but you had to dress as biblical characters. Mary,
that's cool.
Joseph, the donkey.
Yeah, I could just come in as a unicorn.
Is that satanic if I say dress as biblical characters since I'm still participating in Halloween?
No, listen. Halloween is All Hallows' Eve. The Eve of All Souls' Day.
Mm-hmm. You were just talking about that recently in my child's WhatsApp group, her school, where it's up to grade six. One of the parents asked, what is All Hallows' Eve, and is it a satanic ritual? Of course, people say, you could tell you ain't Anglican.
You ain't understand All Hallows' Eve.
Don't let Anglicans talk
everybody
to you about
it,
buddy.
The whole room get vexed. And the lady said, but I'm not Anglican. I'm just uneasy about this ceremony. Well, why you got to celebrate the dead people? And they say, Lord, you could tell you ain't Anglican. Because, you know, you can't be in an open forum with a bunch of Anglicans and talking foolishness.
This is... To the gentleman that called in yesterday, I really appreciate, you know, the opportunity to create space for you to share what was happening with you. This is another really good discussion place, right, to talk about. Do you know what Halloween is?
Mm.
Do you know what All Souls Day is and what All Souls Eve is, right? All Hallows Day, All Hallows.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is? It's a great space for religious education as well.
But remember, well, Catholics get pushed down to fourth place. And then we have a number of this new age, Pentecostal, non-denominational...
Right now to push back up into the top three.
And explain.
Okay, I was going to say that tongue-in-cheek, right? Mm-hmm. But the Catholic practice of going into cultures, understanding them, and then connecting Catholicism to the existing culture. Mm-hmm. It's a great opportunity for the Catholics to push back up into the top three.
And in long and short, All Hallows Day is remembering your ancestors, those who have departed during the year, and saying prayers for them in remembrance of them.
And if you follow this Christian practice of revering and honoring the dead, then you wouldn't be afraid to walk in among them if they are there.
I ain't going to no graveyard at night.
I didn't say go through a graveyard.
You're saying I'm not going to no graveyard at night.
I see ghosts once too.
I see dead people.
And you know what? I was in Inagua where them by them is be raking in and scraping in.
You sure that was no
I tell
Inagua
you,
donkey?
It was a ghost. A young man was walking me home.
Did the ghost talk?
No, and if it did, I didn't stay around. Yuri, I got sense, you know, I see things, but I didn't stay around long enough to find out if the ghost was going to say something.
I just try to make the ghost didn't go, ah.
If I run through that, look here, Pauline Davis, when I told Pauline Davis I could beat her, she couldn't fathom it. That's because she wasn't there in 1996.
Do you know, it's a reason why that they put graveyards near the beach on Family Island?
Because of the water. Because
ghosts can't swim. Ghosts can't swim.
Because spirits.
Yeah.
I mean, that's real.
So all you got to do is run towards the water and just let the spirits just watch you.
No, that's bees and water. Bees, you jump under the water and wait for them to go away.
Anyway, it's time to go. Happy Halloween. Happy All Saints Day. Happy All Saints Day.
This year.
Have a wonderful day.
And this is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.